not what I asked you, right? And it's like that sometimes when God comes to us and God speaks to our heart and we begin to give all kind of reasons and give all kind of excuses and blame other people as to why we can't answer the question, right? We come up with all this other stuff instead of answering the question. Jesus said, do you want to be healed?
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Are You Stuck at Bethesda? Before we begin our message today, we've been offering a book that I have written entitled Touched by the Breath of God. This is an eye-opening book where we go to great lengths to show that the Bible is the inspired word of God. This book helps answer questions and doubts about the Bible. This is a book that is for new believers, college students, people that have been in the faith for a while. After reading this book, you will be thoroughly equipped to defend the Bible, which is God's word. Contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus Ministries. Request a copy of my book, Touched by the Breath of God. Now for the conclusion of Are You Stuck at Bethesda?
And notice, Bethesda was a place that was supposed to represent mercy and kindness. It came to be a place of blessing for one person, and for others, it became a place of shattered hopes and dreams. Somebody said, you want to see my pictures? And other, no, not really. I really don't want to see your pictures. But let me just show you one picture. Let me show you one picture. If you'll go to the next one. All right, the next one. All right. The next one. All right. Okay. When I went to Israel, I don't know about you, Floyd. Did you see Bethesda when you went there? Can you remember? Yeah. I went to Bethesda, the place where this miracle was performed. On the right is where is what it looks like today, right? You see all the tourists standing up there. And they even have captured, you remember how I said five colonnades or five pillars? They have even restored some of the pillars that were there. But that's on the left. What did it look like? Many artists believe that this is what it looked like in Jesus' day, you know, where they kind of walked down into a stony area and that there was the pool right there. So I just wanted to show off the picture, and I just wanted to say that I've been there, you know, that's all. And you can go there too, but all right, if you go back to the other one. All right, so my question is this morning, so we haven't even gotten into the message yet, but my question is this morning, are you stuck at Bethesda, right? I mean, this guy, he was there. You know, we don't know how long he was there, but he was stuck at Bethesda. And so my question this morning is, are some of you stuck at Bethesda? You may be stuck at Bethesda in your marriage, right? Just not moving, not going anywhere. You may be stuck in Bethesda in your devotional life. You know, God has called you to have a rich, intimate time with him, and that you're not spending any time with the Lord, and you're like this guy right here. You know, he got to the steps, and the fact is that, just like, remember, was it Luke 16, where we read about Lazarus, the beggar, and somebody had to lift him up every day and bring him and set him there so he could beg for things from the rich man. And so this guy, you know, was the same way, that somebody had to bring him there. But while he was there, he kept coming time after time after time after time, and he never got healed. He stayed in the same place. And so maybe you're stuck at Bethesda as far as your devotional life is concerned. Maybe you're stuck at Bethesda as far as your career, your vocation, your education is concerned. As you sit there today, are you stuck at Bethesda? As you look back at your life last year and see where you were last year and realize that, man, you should be a lot further down the road. You should be way down the road, but here you're at a place where you have no progress. Are you stuck at Bethesda? And so today I want to share with you some things about Bethesda. Hopefully that will help us to move on. Whatever your dreams, your goals, your aspirations, the things that God wants you to do, let's move from Bethesda. So as we look at this, are you stuck at Bethesda? I threw this in here, but I'm just going to pass. It's a outline of Jerusalem, just to kind of give you an idea where the pool of Bethesda was. And many people say that the pool of Bethesda actually provided water for the temple. So you can see that the pool of Bethesda up there at the top is not very far from the temple. And now you'll notice another interesting pool all the way down at the bottom of the slide, and that's called the Pool of Siloam. And what did Jesus do there? He spit and he put mud on the blind man's eyes, right? And the blind man was able to see. So these are two significant pools that we see in Israel or in Jerusalem. All right, if you go to the next one. So what does Bethesda represent? Okay, what does Bethesda represent? You know, Bethesda, when you look at it, there were people that were there that earnestly were coming for healing. The reason that 3,000 people, according to some commentators, were gathered there was so that they could be healed. And the fact is that, you know, in their life, it represented something that hindered them. It represented something that held them back. And as we look at spiritual Bethesda's today, you know, we see a lot of people that are being held back instead of making progress. Maybe you're stuck at Bethesda today. It means that you're going nowhere. Maybe you're stuck at a place where you're going to be for a long time. And it's only you that can take yourself out of Bethesda. Some people are at Bethesda this morning because of disobedience, right? Adam and Eve, they disobeyed, and they got stuck at Bethesda, right? God had to come through, and God had to do some things, but because of their disobedience, that they messed it up for all of us. Right? They messed it up for all of us. So somebody said, well, you know, if we were in the same situation, we would have made the same choice. Right? I would have liked to have had that chance, right? I would have liked to have had that chance. All right? But maybe you're at this place of Bethesda where you're not moving because you've been disobedient. God has told you to do something. God has told you to step out on faith, and you have refused. You have played it safe in your little corner of the world, and you haven't done what God told you to do, and you find yourself stuck, that you find yourself in a place where you can't get into the water to experience the healing. How many of us? As God, you're sitting there today, and you know that God has told you to do something. You know, it's amazing to me how that the crazy stuff that people think God tells them to do, that they do, right? I told you about that guy that I was talking to. He was a minister, and he told me that he was in this church and that the wife had showed him his future wife, right? The Lord had showed him his future wife. Now the problem was, he was already married. Right? So, you know, it's amazing how, you know, the crazy stuff, you know, people want to believe God for, stuff that God didn't even say, but when God touches our heart and tells us that we need to bless somebody, or when God touches our heart and tells us that we need to step out on faith and go somewhere, that we come up with all kind of excuses, right? So dysfunction, disobedience, lack of faith, Lack of faith is another reason that we don't step out. You know another reason? Is that some folk are just plain lazy. You know, they're just lazy. You know, no, they got energy for everything else but energy for God. You know, we have, you know, I remember I did a series on slothfulness. Then we talked about the fact that there are physical sloths, and we talked about the fact that there are mental sloths, right? That there are people that are just lazy in their mind. And then they don't want to do anything, that they can't move beyond a certain point. And then we talked about spiritual sloths, and that these are individuals that are disobedient. We see that Bethesda represents a lack of progress. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had been there a long time, the man was making no progress. He was getting no closer to his goals. So Bethesda represents a place of dysfunction. It represents a place where there is lack of progress. Sadly, Bethesda represents a place of unfulfilled hopes. Man, unfulfilled hopes. Look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. That people who have all these dreams and have all these hopes and are not willing to put out the effort and the energy to exert the willpower to make these things come to pass, that they have nothing. When I was coaching football in college, our head coach had an expression, and I'm going to clean it up a whole lot. So I'm cleaning it up a whole lot. And he said that you can spit in one hand and you can wish in the other one and see which one fills up faster. You know, what was the point that he was trying to make? Is that, you know, to reach those hopes, to reach those dreams, that there has to be some energy that's put forth. Maybe you're stuck today at the pool of Bethesda because you haven't put the energy out. The soul of the sluggard desires. The soul of the sluggard, man, wants to be a rap star. The soul of the sluggard wants to have the bling bling. The soul of the sluggard wants to drive the nice cars. The soul of the sluggard wants to wear the latest clothes. The soul of the sluggard wants to have all this. It desires, but has nothing. It has hopes. It has dreams, but has nothing, because it's not willing to step out and fulfill what it's looking for. Sir, I have no one when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. I want to be healed. I want to be right. I got all kind of hopes. I got all kind of dreams, but I can't get to the place where I need to go. And then Bethesda represents blame and excuses. Look at this man. He said, I have no one. So what was he doing? The first thing, what was he doing? He was blaming, you know, man, you know what? The people that brought me here, they didn't even stick around to make sure I get in the pool. I have no one. So, you know, you begin that blame game, right? When you're at Bethesda, you begin to blame other people. When you're at Bethesda, you begin to make excuses. Sir, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool, but why I'm coming, what's my excuse? Man, somebody else got in there before me. So-and-so hindered me from doing what I was supposed to do. If my mom would have treated me better, if my dad wouldn't have been absent, if my brother wouldn't have molested me, right? And again, I've said from this pulpit time and time again, I don't make light of the fact of people's injuries. That if you've been molested, that's a horrific thing that has happened. And you need to go and you need to work on that and you need to get healing for yourself. But how long do you use that to stay at Bethesda? How long do you use that to stay at Bethesda? We got to move off the steps and we somehow got to get to the water. So as I kind of give some solutions to this, look here goes a couple of things as we look at the text that I want to look at to help us to move away from Bethesda, okay? The first thing is that we must see that something is wrong. We've got to see that something is wrong. Yeah, you know, I like the person that looked in the mirror and said, "We have seen the enemy, and we is they." Right? You know, sometimes you know it goes back to that old adage, right? The emperor has no clothes, right? That the emperor was up there, and he didn't have any clothes on, and he was the only one that didn't know that he didn't have clothes on. And so sometimes, you know, we have to come and we have to do a reality check in our lives. And we have to look at our lives. We have to examine our lives to look and see what's wrong. Because if you are stuck at Bethesda, that there may be something wrong. I'll give the impotent man credit for two things, right? Right? I'll give him credit for the fact that he saw something that was wrong. And I'll give him credit also for what? That he wanted to get better. That he wanted to get better. You know, and there's a whole lot of people, and we've heard this expression, right? Stuck on stupid. Right? There's a whole lot of people that are stuck. And you know, they don't want to have their eyes open. They don't want to come to the reality that there's something wrong. But the way you begin to address the problem is to realize that there is a problem, that there's something wrong, and then you begin to address it. So we got to see that something is wrong, and then, man, you got to want to get better. Man, you got to look at your life, and you got to say, man, you know, I'm not satisfied with this. You know, we can go down through a whole litany of things, right? You know, for me, and I've been honest, right? It's health. You know, you gotta not only want to get better, right? When you're dealing with your health, you gotta not only want to get better, right? But you got to stop making excuses for your condition. Right? You gotta begin to stop making excuses. Right? So anybody that knows me knows that I love me some Mountain Dew, which is the worst thing in the world, right? 72 grams of sugar. Right. Help us. Help us. But you got to stop making excuses, right? You know, people give me recipe for herbal teas, and, you know, I make them and drink them for a little while, right? But you got, I'm talking. Let me talk to Bill Glaze for a second. All right, I'm not talking to y'all. Bill, you got to stop making excuses, man. I mean, that's the bottom line. You've got to stop making excuses. You know what you got to do, and you got to stop making excuses for yourself. And then when you stop making excuses, you got to take responsibility. Right? No, man. Look, I've been laying here. And I've been sitting on this mat, and now you come along talking about take up your mat and walk. Are you crazy? I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sit here, and maybe, you know what, you know, next. You know, the man didn't even know who Jesus was, right? You know, and how do we know that? Because if you go on to read, it's when the Pharisees asked him, who was it? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't even know who he was, right? So here you got this guy coming along, and asking you a stupid question, right? Do you want to be healed? Well, of course I want to be healed. I'm sitting here along with these other 3,000 people. Yeah, I want to be healed. And then, well, take up your mat and walk. Next. Next. Who's next? Right? But somewhere that this man had to do what? He had to take responsibility. He had to take that mat. He had to stand up, and he had to walk, right? And the reason that many of us are in the condition that we're in today is because we don't take responsibility for our lives. We need to realize that if something is wrong, that the chances are that God is not going to wave a magic wand and make it all right. The chances are is that one day it's not going to be fixed all of a sudden, but it's going to come when you take responsibility. And the one thing I know about taking responsibility, that when I don't take responsibility, watch this, when I don't take responsibility, then I empower the situations and the people around me, because now I'm dependent on them. But when I take responsibility, at that point, I have control over the results. Might not be the greatest results, might not be the best results, but I have control over the results when I take responsibility. And so, as we try to move away from Bethesda, let us take responsibility for our lives and realize that nobody's going to do it for you. And as I close today, now this is a true story. Right? And some of y'all might have heard about this. I think it was last month. People were going to, I don't know if this is the exact picture of how it was, but people were going to the Denver airport. And on the way to the airport, there was an accident. And people didn't want to, you know, run into the accident and get backed up in traffic. So guess what they did? They got on their phone or the GPS, and what did they do? They Googled alternative route. This is a true story, right? They Googled an alternative route, and it started taking them down this dirt road where there had just been raining for like 3 days, and it was all muddy. And so all these people are driving down this. I mean, they said there was over 100 cars that turned off and went down the road. And all these people were stuck in the mud. They were stuck in the mud. Maybe you've made a turn down the wrong road. Maybe your GPS was your best friend. Maybe your GPS was your coworker. Maybe your GPS was somebody in the media, and you followed that, and it took you down the wrong road, and now you are here. You are stuck in the mud at Bethesda. Well, I'm here to tell you today that there is someone who has a tow truck and a tow bar and can pull you out of the mud, who can unstuck you. And all we have to do is just allow him. Go. Can you go back to the slide before that? All right. All we have to do is see that there's something wrong. We got to want to get better. We got to stop making excuses. And when Jesus reaches out.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half of What We Do in Life Echoes in Eternity. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Are You Stuck at Bethesda? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the message, Are You Stuck at Bethesda? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Are You Stuck at Bethesda? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are available there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I'm reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.